Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. I want to share a different type of message with you today, church. And as you can probably tell from the worship this morning, and we're on a bit of a journey at the moment, and I don't know if you feel it too, but we feel that we are in a time of real opposition, if I'm honest. Too many circumstances to be coincidence. Even down to flipping delivery drivers crashing with Christmas spectacular flyers. I mean, it's just getting outrageous. On the week of Excel, every single, I'm going to say, let's say 80% of our male staff members, all our wives were sick on the week of Excel for the 3 days building up to it. And then Excel came and then they're fine. just crazy. All across our team, all across our staff, we are hearing about people with health challenges, different financial challenges, and things that are so random and just come out of nowhere. And as we were praying about it and thinking about it, we just sensed that we are in a season of high interest from the enemy. That the enemy's got his eye on us because of what is happening and what is about to happen. And whilst there is a battle going on, there is an excitement in my spirit and many of the team of what is going to happen on the other side of this. And the Bible teaches us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. But here's the other side of that is, that means weapons are being formed against us. And we cannot be unaware of that we are in a battle. There is so much imagery throughout the Bible about the battle that we're in. Think about Ephesians, where it tells us to put on the full armor of God, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers, and it's against the darkness, and it's against the spirit realm. That's the realm that we live in. And no weapon formed against us will prosper, but there are some things coming against us. And as we prayed about it, and I actually got on the phone to a friend of mine, James Aladrin from Prayer Storm, and went, "You're a prayer professional, James." Do you remember James that came here? He's released an amazing video, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It is 3 hours long. It's on the Prayer Storm website, and it's him interviewing one of Africa's leading Satanists and witch doctors, who met Jesus in a powerful way. It is outrageous. I would encourage you to listen to that. It'll do your faith good. But James and I were speaking about, sometimes we have to stand and get a strategy against what is coming against us, as things are being formed against us. And you know, when you go through particularly the Old Testament, every different battle had a different response to it. You know, 7 times they walked around Jericho. And they shouted and the walls came down. But after that, they didn't do that to every city. That was that one time. That was the strategy. The next time it would be to, you know, put fire in jars and smash the jars. And like, it was a different strategy. Every time, one time with Jehoshaphat, they sent the singers out in front. And that caused the enemy to scatter because they thought it was an ambush. God gives us different strategies at different times. And as we've prayed and been giving more intentional time to pray and praying for you, church, and praying for what God's doing, this today that I want to share to you is part of the strategy. Because I want us to be aware of the season I believe God has put us in and how he was asking us to respond. And normally when I stand on here and I deliver a message, I want to give you something that it's like, here's my 3 points, here's what we do by the time we hit the car park, here's the application, great. I don't know what's going to happen today, if I'm honest. I just want to be obedient to what God is speaking. And then I'm believing that by the power of his Holy Spirit, we will have a response. And it's to each of us to have that response. So I want to speak from obedience today. And I want to share a prophetic word with you. A prophetic word that is to speak over us, to speak to us, that God really wants to land in our heart. And I just want to say a few things about the prophetic before I share this word and this picture with you. Throughout the Bible, we understand that the Bible is God's word, yes? But in the Bible, there are two different words in the translation for God's word. There is the Logos word and the Rhema word. The Logos word is the written word of God. We say that's the Bible. You know, that is the word of God. That's the Logos word. But you know, sometimes you be praying and you hear the word of God to you, or you have a word for somebody else, or you think, this is what I think the emphasis is now. That is the Rhema word of God. So it's the written word of God, but it's the Rhema word of God, which is God's now word to us. And it's really important that that now word lines up with his written word, and it does. I'm going to show you this in the Bible in a moment. But this is a word, I believe, that is speaking into the season that we're in now. It's speaking into our future. It's speaking into an encouragement as we serve him, as we get on line with his agenda. And I think there's something special about, understanding that, you know, if you are dressed incorrectly for the season that you're in, you're going to have a challenge. Yesterday it was sunny. Yes? Did anybody see the sun yesterday? How many people went out in flip-flops, shorts and a t-shirt? Anybody? Well, you did. Fair play. Probably not from Bradford. It's from Wales. Sunny in Wales. But when we go out in the sun, why? Because it's not the right season. That's not the right action that's associated with this season. And I believe God wants to speak to us a word in season so we know how to act. We know how to respond, to know his agenda. And you know, that's what's also important. I just want to mention this about the word that is preached, whether it be myself or Shell or others that are speaking from this platform. Let me just put this out there. I know I'm not Stephen Furtick, okay? I know I'm not T.D. Jakes. There are many, many amazing, world-class preachers that you can go online and listen to on YouTube. I would encourage you to do it. You know, and just get that faith in you and listen to what God is doing around the world. Absolutely, absolutely. But listen, there's something important about what God is saying to us here, now, in Bradford, as his gathered church. And our commitment to you is, we will always work hard in our communication. We will do the best we can, but we will also be obedient to give you what we feel God is telling us for you in this season. So I just want to encourage you, lean in with especially. It's really good to listen to other things, but it's really important to listen to what God is saying here. And what's often interesting is when I've spoken, the number of people that will come to me and go, it's so weird, so weird. I was reading that this week. I was praying that exact prayer. God was speaking to me. Let me give you a new insight. It's not weird. Because we're all part of the same family and we have the same father. So he's often speaking to us about the same thing. I appreciate the encouragement, but honestly, it's not weird. It's a really, really good thing. So it's God's now word. We've got to align it with his written word. And also when we speak of the prophetic, I think it's important that it lines up not just from one source, but from multiple sources. And the word I want to share with you, this picture I want to share with you today, has been two of our guest speakers have mentioned this over recent months. Two of our staff had independently received this word. And then after somebody shared it in a public, another three of you in the congregation came forward and said, I'd had the same picture and the same word. I think God's trying to get our attention with this. And then, as I said, as we look at it, what's our application? What's our response? And I believe we're just going to leave that to the Holy Spirit today. But what I do know is when God speaks, his word does not return void. When what God says will come to pass. The pace that it comes to pass, that's a different thing. It's through the actions of his people that we can usher in his kingdom. We can go ahead and we can partner with him, but he will achieve it. But how often in the Bible are there gaps in the Old Testament where perhaps God couldn't find that person to speak through? Or maybe God wanted to say something, but there was nobody willing, nobody ready to listen. I remember the evangelist Reinhard Bonnke stood on this stage and years ago at Rock Nations and told us all that he was God's third choice. Explained to us that when God came to him, God said, I've asked two people already, but they've said no. So you're my third choice. And Reinhard was like, well, as long as you're with me, then I'll go. But how often do God is looking for people whose hearts are turned towards him to strengthen them. And I believe he's going to do that with us today. So here's the picture, and I feel I've built it up. It's not a particularly picture that you're going to go, oh, I've never thought of that, but it's, I want you to lean in and listen. In fact, Father God, I just pray that you help us hear your word right now by the power of your spirit. That it would not just go into our brain, but it would drop into our heart, Father God, drop into our spirit, that it would resonate within us, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me today as I share your word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And the picture is this, that the dam is about to break. The dam is about to break. We've received this picture through multiple sources, as I said, of a dam. And for a while on this dam wall, we've been chipping away. We've been chipping away and cracks have started to appear in this wall. But it's not going to hold much longer. A flood is coming. The dam is about to break and it is going to pour out. The dam is going to break. Whatever has been holding it back, and I'm not going to go into that today, whether that be our own fear, just God's timing, us withholding from him, I don't know. And I feel that over this recent season, we've been chipping away at so many things, doing so many things behind the radar, behind the scenes. And I believe God's saying, no, it's time. And in this flood, there's a flow. There's a flow of increase of his presence, increase in healing, increase in life, increase in provision, increase in signs and wonders, increase in breakthrough. I was reminded of when David Campbell was here and he spoke about Smith Wigglesworth in 1948, when Smith Wigglesworth, when he passed away in 1948, one of his dying breaths was to say, there will be a fresh outpouring of his spirit. There will be and we haven't seen it yet. We've seen glimpses of it. But could it be, could this be the time? Could it be through us in this season of God's people? Could this be the time that it's going to flow through us? And it's no accident, church. It's no accident that tonight we're going to gather here at 6 o'clock, slightly different time, 6 o'clock. We've moved the time to accommodate the other churches that are going to join us tonight. We've got different churches coming to stand with us, and we're all going to stand together and pray to the one true God over our city, over all that's coming. And it was interesting. I was speaking to Reverend Linda Maslin, who's the vicar at Fountains Church. She's going to be here tonight. She was telling us about all the opposition that they'd had. And I shared the word I'm sharing with you. She was like, that is so exactly what we're experiencing. And there's some opposition against the church in the city. And I think the enemy hates it when people dwell together in unity and put their differences aside and focus on what they do believe in, which is that Jesus is higher than it all. So tonight is going to be special. Tonight is part of the strategy. His living water, his presence, his breakthrough. The dam is going to break. And there's so many imagery, so many pictures in the Bible and scriptures that we've been shared. Do you remember a while ago, we looked at 2 Kings 3, where it teaches us to, there's a moment where 3 kings are going to war, they're going to do something amazing and they step out and it gets really hard and they've been going a week and now there's no food and there's no provision and the man of God says to them, dig ditches. And they're like, oh, seriously, we're knackered, we've got nothing to eat or drink and you're telling us to dig ditches? And he says, no, do it because the Lord will bring fresh water. He will fill the ditches. You do what you can do and he will do the rest. Again, that imagery of water pouring. Isaiah 35, we got this in the prayer meeting just the other week. Isaiah 35, 6 and 7, then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. He is bringing refreshing into the desert, into where everything seems arid. And we look at our city and we just go, oh, it's such a desert spiritually for you, Jesus. But he will bring refreshing water. Isaiah 41:17, another one we've had. It says, the poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive, all these beautiful trees. I will set up junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress, so that people, why? So that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. We're not doing it so that Life Church can look good. This outpouring is happening so that he gets all the glory. When lives are transformed, when people are turned around, when that healing flows, that God will get the glory. I want to share with you quite a long scripture, and this is the scripture that many of us that had this picture of the dam had got to accompany it. I'm going to read it all to you. It is quite long, but keep leaning in. Stay with me. This is from Ezekiel 47. We're going to draw a few points out of this, and then we'll pray and see what happens. Ezekiel 47. So this is Ezekiel. He was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he got pictures from God that he gave to the people of God. It says, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastwards with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, that's about a third of a mile, and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was knee deep. This river is growing. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was waist deep. He measured off 1,000, but now this was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and it was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the water flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows that makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Gannim. There will be places of spreading of nets. The fish will be of many kind, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps of all kind will grow on both sides. The fruit trees will grow on both banks. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Amen. 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 Here we have this amazing picture of a river. If I lost you there, here's what it says. It's a temple. And there's a river flowing out of it. And this river brings refreshing and it brings life. It's getting larger and larger. And that's the image that we have when this dam breaks, this flow of life. And I want to share three pictures from this with you. The first one is this. The river will bring hope. The river brings hope. Because here's the context, okay? Ezekiel wasn't looking at a temple. Ezekiel was in captivity. The Babylonians had come to God's people. They'd burnt down the cities. They had trashed the temple. They had smashed everything that they had built. And they had taken them away into captivity. They were in slavery and in captivity. And so when Ezekiel sees this picture of a temple, well, he knows the temple's been destroyed. So how can this be? How can this exist? And he's looking at a hopeless situation. He's not even in the land that he's supposed to be because he's been taken captive. And yet God gives him this picture of refreshing and reclaiming the land and stepping into the promise and God doing what he said he would do. And I bet Ezekiel didn't really understand that then, but he was prophesying into his future. And I believe he is prophesying into our future now. Because what looks like an arid wasteland, what looks like there's no hope, that how can this happen? There is always hope with God. There is always hope with him. And this is the same Ezekiel, do you remember? 10 verses later in Ezekiel 37, and excuse me, my voice is going, but let's press on in Jesus' name. In Ezekiel 37, he's taken to this valley of dry bones. And God says to Ezekiel, look at all these dry bones. Can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel does the amazing tactic answer, because he doesn't know what the right answer is. Is it yes? Is it no? Only you know, Lord. That's the greatest cop out of an answer. Only you know, Lord. And what God proceeds to do is, he says to him, I want you to prophesy. Why? Because God works through his people. He says, I want you to speak over them. I want you to prophesy. You prophesy life to these dry bones. You prophesy breath in the lungs. You prophesy life flowing through these bodies. And these dry bones come to life. And what's he doing? He's showing Ezekiel, nothing is impossible with God. The darkest parts of our city will still be illuminated by the light of Jesus. The darkest places in our city, the people that we think, well, surely, I know most things can turn around, but not that. Even that. There's not one part of the city that does not belong to Bradford. Even in our darkest days, even in the places where human trafficking is happening, even in the places of that are Islamic strongholds, there is nowhere that the power of Jesus cannot break through. Come on. He's still at work. Nothing is impossible. He's the one that makes the dry bones live. And we've, just like Aaron prayed in the worship, it's by the power of his Holy Spirit working through every single one of us. Nothing is too difficult for him. It's Jesus is the answer. Whatever the condition of the human heart, the answer is never more money. The answer is never drugs or another relationship. The answer is Jesus. For every question we are getting asked in the city, the answer is Jesus, because he is our hope. He is our purpose. He's the one that brings us back to the Father and puts us in that perfect relationship with him. He's the answer. We had some guests come to church the other week, and I won't give you too much detail because it would be unfair, but we had some visitors and we did a tour, and some of the people were of different faith, and there was a guy that was here and he was of a different faith, and at the end of the tour he just said to Shirley, sorry, what's the peace? What's this peace I'm feeling? Like, what, church wasn't happening, it was just, you know, an office day sort of thing. But he's just walking around the building, he just sensed the presence of God. So that he was able to say to him, it's the presence of God. There's no dressing that one up, that's what it is. And people know it and they sense it. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. There is always hope because of Jesus. The second thing I want to show you about this flow that is coming, just reading again, verses 8 to 9. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Have you ever emptied a cup of water into the sea? Anybody? Yeah? Guess what would happen if you did? Nothing. The sea is still salty, guys. And I don't know if you've ever been, I have had the blessing of going to the Dead Sea, and it's, best thing I can describe, it's like swimming in vegetable oil. You can like feel the water, it is so thick, and it is so toxic. And do you know why it's called the Dead Sea? It's dead. There's nothing lives in it. Nothing can live in that thick, salty water. But when this river flows, when this river flows, when this water touches that toxic environment, nothing can stand. When the flood of God comes out, nothing can stand in its way. Nothing can overpower Jesus. He is the light in the darkness, and the darkness cannot hide it. We did this a while ago and we won't do it now, but do you remember we could turn off all the lights in this room and I could light one candle. The darkness cannot stand. Doesn't matter how dim the light is. Doesn't matter how dim you feel your light is in your college, in your place of work, in your family. Lightness pushes back the darkness. It's not normal, you know, physics to put water in salt water and it changed. But we don't serve an ordinary God. He can do way more than we can ask, hope, or imagine according to his power at work in us. It says at the end that the leaves, the trees will grow for fruit and the leaves will grow for healing. There is healing in his presence. There is healing. Our city is hurting so bad. Just like that, I love that story that Fee shared about the family. I don't love the situation they're in. But I just love how just by a simple act of those toys, and that's going to happen 7,000 times across our city. Come on, let's believe. Church, let's be praying over every single one of those toys that they would go out like a healing balm into families, that send a signal that somebody cares for you, somebody loves you, that there would just be so much more attached by the Spirit of God, because where those toys have come from, there is healing, there's refreshing for all, there's salvation in this healing flow. There's going to be prodigals coming home in this healing flow as it pours out into our city in the name of Jesus. There's hope, there's healing in the flow, and I really wanted the last one to start with an H, but it doesn't. There's legacy in this flow. And what I mean by that is it says the fruit trees of all kind will grow on both sides of the bank, and it says their leaves will not wither and their fruit won't fail. Every month they will bear fruit because of the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. What I want to say is we are not contending for just this moment, church. We are contending right now, I believe, for generations to come and for the future of our city. And we stand with other churches and do that. We're not on our own in this. But I think sometimes we have maybe a short-term mindset. And of course, we want Christmas to be great. We want the start of the new year to be. But one of the things God's been teaching me is God thinks way bigger than that. God thinks generationally. God thinks decade by decade. And we're playing our part in this season. And I honestly think we won't know the impact of some of the things we do, even in the spirit in this season. Some of the things we are going to bind and break in this city, in this season, through our warfare of prayer. And that's why when we go into January, we are going to focus January in prayer. We're going to commit to increased prayer, more prayer for one another, more prayer for our city. That's going to be our focus in January, because again, it's all part of our strategy that God's been speaking to us about. But it's about more than just this time. And the world teaches us to have this short-term mindset of, you know, what's in it for me. But I just believe that there's something happening that is going to cause trees to be planted around our city that we might just see as saplings. There might just be a start, but that fruit is going to feed people for years and years and years to come. Those leaves are going to bring healing for years to years and years to come. But somebody has to plant and somebody has to start there. I honestly believe, as I've prayed about it, that the fruit that comes from this house, just like we will at Christmas, will feed many season after season. And there'll be supply for this city. But that fruit is also going to get exported. And we're going to feed many, like came to Excel or Rock Nations, or we'll come to our creative conference, whatever it is, we're going to feed many. And then from the strength and the abundance of this storehouse, we will continue to impact the world around us. And we'll be able to feed many. But it starts with what God is doing here. The dam is about to break. There is hope. There is healing. There is a legacy that's coming. And so in response, what do we do? And as I said, God God is ultimately responsible for bringing about his word, but he chooses to work through people. And I believe that this is a call to arms for us. It's a reporting for service kind of time, where we've got to say, step away from the normal, and we do church and we do family and we go to work. Yeah, we do all of that, but we do it with the Spirit of God, who has an agenda that's way bigger than ours. And one of my prayers is to God, would you just open our eyes to see what you are doing? One of the things that sticks out to me is this river, it flowed from the temple. It flowed from the temple. It didn't get contained within the temple. And the flow starts in me, and it starts in you, and it starts in this temple, and it flows out, because the flood, one of the pictures that we had was that this flood didn't just randomly pour out. No, it went down channels and irrigation channels. Conduits was the word. And I believe that I am looking at the conduits. We are the vessels for God that are going to take this flow. You will go to places I could never go. You'll be around people that I might never even meet. And I believe that you are going to experience fresh influence and fresh favor in your places of work, in your college, in your school. God is going to be demanding something out of you so that you can be a vessel for him to pour through and that to flow from. Just listen to the words of Jesus in John 7. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. We are in that later time. You have received his Spirit if you know him. There's a fresh outpouring. It starts in you and me. It's an outpouring, I believe. We're going to see healings. We're going to see miracle signs and wonders, because God can't help himself. When there's an increase of his presence and an increase of the pursuit of his people after his presence, God can't help himself. We will see something fresh. We'll see new things. We'll see blind eyes open. We will see cancers healed in the name of Jesus. I believe we're going to see more transformed lives than ever. I don't know about you, church, but I don't just want people to go, oh yeah, I met Jesus and I put my hand up, and then they stay around for a bit and go. I want them to be transformed, to really truly know Jesus. And that's going to take every single one of us. I believe we're going to be people who are just turning up at our doors going, I've dreamed about this guy, I think he's called Jesus, can you help me? And there's other people that are relying on you speaking to them and sharing Jesus with them, and maybe Spectacular or the Carol service will be the first step of that. But I'm believing that in this new year, every single empty seat dotted around this will be filled with a person going, what do we do now? Do we sing? Do I sit? Do I? Because I've never been in church before, they don't know what's going on. Love that. I believe it's going to happen. We're going to see lives transformed. Why? Because of his healing flow, because of that flow and hope that is pouring out. The dam is about to break. There is an increase in the outpouring. We prophesy, Lord, we speak it into being. We say we are ready, Lord. Would you send that flood? Would you send that flow, Holy Spirit? We trust in you, Father God. We want to see that dam broken over our city. That it would bring hope into the hopeless places. That it would bring healing where people are just so shut down and locked up, Father God, that we would sense your power, we would experience your provision. God, we pray that provision would flow with it, Father God, the empowerment of your people. God, that we would dream dreams, that we would see visions. You would open the eyes of our heart to understand that your power is at work within us. God, we prophesy that prodigals will come home. We prophesy salvation upon salvation upon salvation. We prophesy your healing, Lord. We prophesy your goodness will be seen in the dark places. Your light will come into the dark. In the name of Jesus, we believe it. We believe it. We believe it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you, God. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at lifechurchhome. Have a blessed week and we'll see you soon.